2 verse 9. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God will make a way, precious Father, when there is no way. Where we can say, where it seems to be no way, precious Father, you can still make a way. Make a way at this time of tonight, O Lord my God, as we're going to come, as we're going to experience, as we're going to receive the teaching from the Holy Spirit. Make a way in people's lives. Make a way in people's hearts. Release them, O Lord my God, from the bondage of the enemy, that they may receive the word that will bring healing and transformation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Holy Spirit, use me tonight and speak through me. Let me become a vessel, an instrument, O Lord my God. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me, O Lord my God. Remember me, precious Father. Anoint me tonight. Let me speak with boldness what you have given me, precious Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 9. When I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Dealing with addictions. As I was, I've been telling you for a couple of three weeks ago, few weeks ago, we always experience different type and kind of addiction. Maybe you may not like to, probably maybe to share what you are going through, but I can tell you the more we share these things, the more we get breakthrough in our lives. The enemy won't tell you, do not share, do not talk to anyone. Don't tell your brother, don't tell your sister what you're going through. Sometimes if you have husband and wife, it can be maybe is a husband has got this habit, this evil habit. Maybe sometimes you need to share with your husband, with your wife, maybe it's a wife, maybe it's children. But I can tell you, there's no way you can come out of addiction if there's no power of sharing. Thank God for these different meetings I've seen in this community. Do not neglect those small communities. Call a meeting, all this, it's good. Because sometimes people, they don't know what to do. And they have to say, you know what, I need help. It's good. Addiction. Different, it can be alcohol, you can be alcoholic, it can be through, it can be smoking, it can be drugs, anything that you have already, especially in our days. Let me tell you something about addiction through our children. Sometimes we may say, oh, you know what, there's no way, hell, I can tell you, is populated with children nowadays. Gaming. Things that we don't benefit, there's no even benefits. I've been listening to testimonies. Younger ones, young generations of children that have turned away from their God, the mighty God. And we have bombarded our children with different gadgets, different games. And sometimes we may say, they should continue to play this song because I don't want them to disturb me. No, they should disturb us. We should create a place where we can communicate with our children. Addiction. Last Sunday, I'd say two things that part three is about supplication and honesty. Supplication, which means you will pray with different type and kind of prayers. Sometimes you need to talk to God. You need to supplicate, which means you are coming, you are crying unto Him, the one who can deliver you. Sometimes you can say it's enough to pray. No, sometimes we need to cry out. I need help, oh Lord. Please, oh Lord, I need help. Supplication. And you have to be honest. We call it honesty. The blind man, Jesus asked him, what do you want from me? Bartimaeus, he cried out. And guess what? The man was crying out, the disciples were trying to shut him out. It was like, please, master is very busy. Can you imagine? The same disciples of Jesus, they were trying to shut him out. Don't be screaming. But he kept screaming very loud, supplication. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, someone is calling me. God just said, and then you know what they say? Hey, come, take courage. He's calling you. The same disciples. And Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do? Jesus saw that this gentleman was blind. I says, how comes? Just when sometimes people, they may tell you, I don't want them to be delivered. That's why salvation, you never force anyone to receive Christ. You always ask if you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. You cannot. Jesus is not like an injection. You have to give everyone like if you don't receive this injection. No. Jesus, salvation is not an injection that you have to receive by force. No. Freely. And then the gentleman said, I would like to see. Of course, Jesus saw that he was a blind man. Honesty. We need to be honest with ourselves. And tonight, when I was reading this scripture, she says, when I came to the governors, this is not Nehemiah, came to the governors of the province of the west of Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, have sent along. So Nehemiah left the king palace with what we call the army office. He went with army, with office, with soldiers who went with him on the journey. He said, I went with army officers and horsemen to do what? To protect me, because you can relapse anytime, any second to our addiction. We need support from people of different dimensions. You need an army to support you when you are coming through your restoration. You need support. You need people close by. You need people that you can trust. You need people can tell you, hey, enough is enough. Come this way. Let's go that way. Nehemiah had the whole army protecting him. What about you, brother? Through your restoration, who's protecting you? Do you have a good friend who can tell you, do not smoke any longer, you are killing yourself? Do you have a very good environment, people can tell you, enough is enough through what you have been doing? The king also have sent an army officers to protect me. Nehemiah worked in Susa as cupbearer for the kings of the vast Medo-Persian Empire. When he heard that the rebuilding project in Jerusalem were progressing slowly, he asked the king if he could go to there to help his people to complete the task. He heard that they were doing some construction, but it was really on the slow mode. And Nehemiah said, no, I cannot just sit down here as a cupbearer of the king. Let me just go and help them. But guess what? He was very honest through his application. He was very honest when he was talking to the king. This is the reality on the ground. My people, they need help. Probably I can do something about it. Not only the king said, you should go and help them, and say, I promise you may need help. I'm going to give you the entire army. I'm going to give you people who will protect you until you finish your task. Amen, amen. So, what's happening here? The king agreed to let him go, so he left as soon as possible, traveling along much the same route Ezra has taken. We all need support to start with. We all need support. What is support? Assistance. I can say we all need help. Don't say you can do it on your own. Anyone here on earth needs help. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you are poor or you are, I don't know what I can say. Everybody and anyone needs help. Especially when it comes from coming restoration after you have destroyed the body which you symbolize, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You need help, my brother. There's no you can come out on your own. Or I've got enough strength to secure myself. There's no such kind of things. No. We need help. We need support. Nehemiah had only asked the king to the letter for the governor to prevent him safe conduct on the road. But the king was wise enough to know that Nehemiah would need extra protection along the way. Not only the letter to say that I've authorized Nehemiah to go back. Like the way when we're going through our addiction, sometimes you can say, oh, I've graduated from this or a meeting. It's good to graduate with a piece of paper, but do you have a group of people who can keep your accountability with them? Do you have a set of people? Do you have an army? Here it was an army, the entire army, soldiers to protect, not only to show the letter, but to protect Nehemiah. We need that. We need that into our lives. Amen, amen. So, in the same way, I wrote something that you can see on the screen. In the same way, the addict will ample outside supports on their journey to recovery. They still can say, I can do it on my own. We need to be supported every day. Every day. Prayers are very good. You can go to what I call solo prayers, which means on your own, you want to pray. But the Bible tells me one will chase how many? 1,000. Two will change 10,000. So you get more strength, more power when you join your strength together. So your accountability is what people are looking at. You say you have said already, I've recovered. I'm not doing this. People want to see the outcome. People want to see that are you really serious? And here, not only Nehemiah have the piece of paper to say, hey, I've been authorized by the king to go to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, but not only that, I have an army to protect me. Unless something comes on my way, I know I have the entire army, soldiers who will protect me, who will defend me. We need that. When trouble comes, we must have people cross by that people can tell you enough is enough. You cannot go back again. Remember how many times you spend in alcohol? You remember how many times you spend on pornographic material? Do you know how many times you spend doing these things that you're supposed to be doing? Please don't go there. This is the way. This is the way. This is the way. You need people around you every day, my brother. Amen, amen. Especially for us believers, we know what we're talking about. People, church is the group that we need to stay connected at the end of the day. Why am I saying that? Because the recovering addicts must stick with a band of people willing to fight for his freedom and well-being. People, you have a set of people ready to fight for your own good. That's why you should really don't say everyone is my friend. This is my friend. This is my friend. That is my friend. This is my friend. And when trouble comes, they run away. Have you ever a friend when you're in trouble? That's the time they are experiencing social distancing. Only when you have a problem. When you lend them money, they practice social distancing. You never see them. No, we need people when we are in trouble, they'll show up. Not only they will defend you, but they will rebuke you in love. That's the friend I want to have at the end. Someone can tell me, Pastor, what you did is not good, but we love you so much. This is the way. I want to have a friend. I want to have someone. If I'm in trouble, the person will just be, I say, where are you? I'm on my way. I'm coming. I would like to have such. That's a friend. That's a friend. We'll never get tired because Nehemiah had set the entire army with him. In case of something happened, these people will fight the good battle, the good fight at the end to protect Nehemiah. That's why I said the recovering addict must stick with a band of people willing to fight for his freedom and well-being. Why am I saying this? This accountability group must be not be on one person. It must be a force of many warriors. Only don't depend on one friend. Depend on warriors. Group of people. Committed. It's like the entire organization just for one person. Don't depend on, because here Nehemiah, he had the entire garrison. He had the entire army soldiers with him. That's why we always relapse. You commit, you say, I don't want to smoke anymore. You have got only one friend. By the time you cannot reach that friend again, you go, you relapse again. But no, you should have the entire team, the entire big, that group of people can really fight your battles every day to make sure that you are going in the right direction. Amen, amen. Why am I saying this? Hebrews 1:25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Hebrews 1:25. Do not neglect your gathering. Don't neglect your gathering. To neglect Christian meetings is to give up the encouragement and help of other Christians. Maybe say, I don't feel like praying. It's okay. Other people continue to pray. I don't feel like going to church. It's fine. Other people will go to church. Guess what? Who's losing? You. You're the one losing. That's why Hebrews 1:25 is a very good key scripture in this time when you say you need a strong, you need a group, you need a community, you need a set of people. We believers, people where? Christian? Oh, that would be the church that I go to. That's why you should not be going. You must find a place that you should have to be fellowshipping every week, my brother. Those are watching far and find a growing Bible church that you can attend. And be part of that church. Amen, amen. So there's no excuse, oh, I have to drive, you know, the bus didn't pass. There's no bus these days, it's zooming. So if you cannot even come to, when the church service starts at 1 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I don't know what time is your church service start, and you cannot, you don't even have time while you are still sitting in your own house with your children. I think these things of pandemic came to bring us together with our families. So we can pray as family. So we can worship as family. So we can do everything as family. So Hebrews 1:25, write it down. It's a very key scripture. Let us not neglect our meetings together. To neglect Christian meeting is to give up the encouragement and help other Christians. Or we gather together to share our faith and to strengthen one another in the Lord. That's the mean. That's the reason why we gather on Sunday. Or when we go, we have to pray or Bible study. When we go to Bible study, what's the reason of going to Bible study? Because we want to encourage each other and also we want to strengthen one another. Amen. What I didn't know, maybe someone will tell me extra so I can have the great knowledge of the Word of God. We should not neglect that. I should encourage you on Wednesdays. Zoom in, please, if it's possible. Just make a call. Hey, I want to be part of what's happening. I didn't hear about this because it's very important. This is the way we keep on growing together, supporting one another. As we get closer to the day when Christ will return, we'll face many spiritual struggles because nowadays we can see majority of believers, they are going all the way down. We are giving all the excuses why we cannot do what we used to do before. May God have mercy upon us. And sometimes that something that I can't even understand. We used to go to a place, to a church, a building that we have to. Probably we have to take the bus. Sometimes we have to drive there. But even though when we are not driving, we are not taking the bus, it has become more complex, more complicated for us to join together as a family. Or it can be only parents are joining, children are not joining. Or it can be children are joining, parents are not joining. We have difficulties to connect with our children during the week. We don't know what they are doing during the we don't even have a clue of the activities. Shame on us. Shame on us as parents. Shame on us. It is a big shame. Shame on us. Where am I saying this? Anti-Christian forces will grow in strength nowadays. Anti-Christian, that's what we're living now. People, they don't want to hear anything about Christ. And there is this kind of manipulation, not because someone can say, I love Jesus, that this person is for you. Really, it's for Jesus. No. And even demons will tell you they know him. Even Satan knows Jesus. So we should stop going with, I love Jesus, I am a Christian. No. Let really people experience that indeed you are a child of God through your actions, through your behaviors, through your characters, because we must demonstrate God's love through actions, words, and hospitality. We need to demonstrate God's love, not only by our lips. No. There must be a true actions. We need to demonstrate God's love through three things. Actions, words, and hospitality, how we treat each other. Difficulties should never be excuse for missing church services nowadays. Oh, I cannot go because of this. No, because I understand that your way to restoration, which if you need help, you need to be associated with those who can strengthen you. People will help you to come out from your addictions. So difficulties should never be excuses for missing something. For you should not say, because the day you are going to stand before God, you cannot say, I was not doing what I was supposed to do because the children you gave me. So you're going to tell God didn't do something good because he gave you children. You know how many people want to have children? A lot of people. You may not say, oh, I didn't serve you because I didn't have enough money. That's not excuse, because the way we came empty-handed, we're going to return empty-handed. Everything will stay here on earth. So why are we fighting the things that you want to leave here on earth? Have enough that can take you in a daily basis, my brother. Seek first the kingdom of God. So difficulties should never be excuses for missing church services. Rather, as difficulties arise, we should make an even greater effort to be faithful in attendance. When things are very tough, that's the thing we should really continue to fire up our prayers. The more Satan is pressurizing us, the more we keep on firing prayer rockets. Because your prayer must be very, your prayer must carry a rocket, a fire of rocket. I'm not sure it should carry a fire as a rocket to penetrate what we call those, the principalities who are living in the air. They say, the Bible tells me in the book of Ephesians, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principality, prince of airs. They are demons, those, they call them prince. They call them prince. Prince. They call them princes or prince. So we are dealing with a bunch of princes or demonic activities in the air that if your prayer is not, it doesn't carry the fire, cannot penetrate that atmosphere, brother. We need one another. We need to support one another. We need each other at this time. Amen, amen. Yes. So, we need support. This key, this at this time, addictions, dealing with addiction, the one thing we need to be supported. Nehemiah, he went through a lot. We're going to see next week what happened. But at this time, even though after receiving a go-ahead, he was supported. He got support from the king to protect him. That was what he said. I got a letter so they can let him go. It's like a passport, a visa. Not only that, also there was a garrison. He had the entire army, soldiers who went with him, and he said it very well, to protect me. We need an army. We need warriors. We need our gathering. We need people. We need our fellowship back again so we can continue to fellowship. We can continue to encourage one another. When someone is down, visit the brother, visit the sister. Encourage your brother, encourage your sister. Hey, hold someone's hand again. You can do it. Hey, don't give up. Just get up. Keep encourage one another. Comfort one another until we go all together with our children. We need the support. You cannot come out of your addictions if there's no any support given. I remember when I was finishing my theological studies through this Christian counseling. During my practicum, I met these people. It was just this recovery group of only men. The entire organization is only just men. And I had the privilege of working with these people for a couple of months where they would wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. It was like a military place. They wake up at 5 o'clock. They have to wake up in the morning. So I was asking there, you meet very young ones, 17, 19 years old. They were already on drugs, all these things. But this was a Christian environment. So they would be there. At 5 o'clock in the morning, they have to tell them to wake up. They have to go and farm. They have to go and dig. They have to do things, construction work. They have to, a lot of work that is very, very painful work. And I was asking one of their supervisors, how come they have to wake up in the morning? Why at 5? I said, yes, 5 o'clock. They have to create a routine. 5 o'clock, they will wake up. 6 o'clock, I used to attend once a while their chapel at 6 o'clock in the morning, probably. And guess what? Their chapel, which means their church, there were no chairs, no bench. They have to stand up like soldiers. That's the way they are conducting their service. No chairs. There were no chairs there. And then, but when you start hearing what they are going through, I liked it because there were a lot of people. So there was like each person had a group of people who would be checking on them every day. So you can have maybe 5 to 10 people among that group of 120 people. People are checking on you every day. Every move you make, they must know where you're going and what you're doing. They don't see you during their lunchtime. They have to go and check if you're in your bedroom. You have to answer why you could not join everybody when they are eating. So they want to know what's happening. So you have, and there they'll tell you, you have to be very honest with each other. Even though when you relapse, you must be very honest with everybody. But God, they told them the way to recovery is to be honest. And then you get support. I look at that model, I was like, wow, that was good. And then the professor was telling me that it's not enough to pray. Prayer without action is nothing. You pray is one thing, believing one thing, but also we need to make a move. We need to step out and make a move. So action. So when you get more support, people are watching, people are supporting you. It's good, which means in times of trouble, there are people can come and give you a good help, assistance that you need. Amen, amen. That's the way. So point number two, just do it. Just do it. Nehemiah 2:18, the Bible says, then I told them about how the gracious hand of God has been on me, Nehemiah 2:18, and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, yes, yes, let's rebuild the wall. So they began the good work. Nehemiah, by the time when he arrived in the city, in the community, people came to look, to see him. People came to greet him. And he told them how God had been so gracious because they saw the army. They saw that the gentleman, he said, no, I'm coming because I want to help you. We should really rebuild this. But God has been so gracious. That's the reason I am here. I need to help you out. We need to do this work. Guess what? All the people who were there, they said, yes. Let's rebuild the wall. People are going to rebuild the wall that you have broken. It will be like together. Other people will help you to rebuild what you have destroyed for many years. Amen, amen. Someone has been smoking for 25, 10 years. Doesn't matter the years. But you have been destroying the body. Because the Bible tells me, do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So if you have been smoking or you have been drinking, you have been doing this impurity many years, and then you contracted HIV, for instance. So you are seeking for healing for someone who has contracted HIV, for instance, or other thing. It can be in a minute, it can go. It could be also, it can be a process. Because if there's no regret, there's no sadness, and you receive your healing, tomorrow you go back again, do the same thing. But when you know that what happened to you, that's why when you are going through a recovery process, brother, it may take some time. They tell you, you should not be smoking, start drinking milk. It's not an overnight that your lungs will become like a baby lungs. Maybe it will take you some time, months, years, because you have already destroyed all your lungs, all your kidneys, gone. With alcohol. So it may take some time for the recovery, for the healing, in the same manner. But whatever you have been doing for some times, it may take time. But you must be supported. And here, you must just go and do it. Why am I saying this? Because they told him, let us rebuild the wall. When you are very honest with other people, they'll tell you, good, you can do this, man. Yeah, we support you. Let's do it. When they say let's do it, it's not because you are the one in trouble, but they are willing to support you to your recovery. Yeah, let's do it. I like this structure of AA meeting sometimes. I like that. You see people exposing themselves. The other people, they need to encourage you. Hey, man, you'll do it. Let's do it. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Let's do it. You are strong. So they are. All they are doing just to support one person. Yeah. You can see there can be 120 people sitting down just to support one person, because it's good when someone is standing strong, like, which means by faith through faith, someone can say, you know what, I don't want to go there again. Where am I saying this? Nehemiah 2:18 said, they said, they told him, yes, let's rebuild it. Nehemiah told the Jews what he had in mind, and they replied by saying, let's start. Let's just do it. When I was reading scripture, something came to my mind. People are not going to know what transpires in your mind, in your life, unless you disclose, unless you tell them. Nehemiah came, he was not like sneaking around or trying to. No, he came and he brought the message. Not like someone who will sit down. Have you ever heard a friend who has a problem, but he don't want to disclose? And then he starts changing, his eyes become blue, red, yellow. And then, what's going on? There's nothing. And then sometimes he cries, and then sometimes he laughs. Sometimes you sit in, and then he goes around, he buys this. You can see that he's not stable, but he doesn't want to disclose it. There's no way they can really give you a good medicine of recovering. Even when you go to see a doctor. Doctor will not prescribe you unless you tell me what's wrong with you. That's what the doctor will tell you. Why are you here today? Can you imagine you go to see a doctor and say, doctor, you better figure out what is wrong with me, you better give me the proper medication. They'll kick you out. I told you, they are very good in guessing, but sometimes you need to tell them. What's your problem? Oh, I'm feeling, I have a headache. Really? So is it something in your family? And they are taking notes. So how many people? Migraine, so you mean? Oh, my mom used to have, okay. So have you taken something? So what kind of medication are you taking? No, I'm taking any medication. Good. So next time, let's see the temperature. Let's see, they'll check your eye. They'll put flashlight in your eye. They'll check your eye. I don't know what they're looking for. They'll check your tongue. And they'll say, okay, we're going to give you this kind of medication and then go and do blood work. Because you communicate the prescribed medication. The same way in recovery through our addiction, we need to speak and people can support it again. We need to do it. We need to speak out and people will make sure that they will give us a good help at the end. Let's start. That's what they say. People are not going to figure out what transpires in your mind. Don't let people start presuming and attempting to help you without revealing what's wrong with you, for instance. Otherwise, they will give you wrong advice. They can tell you maybe this is the way, maybe that was not the way. It's like a doctor can prescribe you a wrong medication because you didn't say, maybe you have a fever, maybe it's typhoid, maybe it's malaria. But by the time when you start talking, then they will figure out what's wrong with you and they can prescribe you a right medication, not a good medication, a right medication at the end. Amen. There was no laboratory laid out of plan. There was no detailed instruction. When he came, he told them what you have to do. Let's do it. The man didn't come with a plan. Hey, the king gave me a map. Look what we're going to start from A. We're going to do B. No, he came and said, you know what? God has been so gracious. Here I am. They told him, let's do it. There was no plan. They started rebuilding the wall. There was no plan. There was not a map. There's not any structure. They just started at that time when they said, let's just do it. That's what I'm saying. There was no elaborately laid out plan. There was no detailed instructions. They just decided to show up and begin ready to trust the Lord and to do whatever He requires of them. So they were like, let's just do it. We can do it. Let's do it. The addict must not wait until they are in the right place to get well. There's no right place when you go to a restoration. I need to wait until next year. I need to wait until in the summertime. I need to wait when I'm going to move maybe in North Carolina. I need to wait until when I move from my parents. I need to wait. No, you should start from where you were. That's the meaning of it. Oh, no, what? Maybe because I'm still a student and I need a lot of what I'm talking about, this cigarette, they don't even take it like this. They have to take it like this. So I need something like this so I can finish all my studies. No, start from where you were. Meet the right people at just where, from where you were. Your restoration doesn't need a right place. From where you find yourself, that can be a place for a starting point in your life. Because that's what they admire. They told him when he spoke, they said, let us do it. And they started from there and they didn't want to waste their time at all. That's what I'm talking about. You just go and do it, my brother. Just that. He must be willing. The addict must not wait until they have the right place to get well. There's not that right place. The right place does not exist when we are going through a restoration. Any place is the right place to start your recovery process. Any place is the right place. Any place is the right place. That right place doesn't exist. That's what I'm saying. The workout begin immediately without delay. So they started without delaying. Let's have a plan. They started in the minute. And they trusted God to guide them through that process. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We can make a plan. I'm going to do it tomorrow. No, you just start. I need help. You just start from where you were, my brother. We should trust God through that process. If we can trust a prescription given by a doctor, if we can trust the medication we're taking from the pharmacist, if you can trust that the same system when the doctor tell you slow down on the sugar, slow down on the salt, do this and do that. And we obey those because it's our health condition. What about our soul, brother? We always trust doctors. It doesn't matter how you find yourself or how you look. If a doctor tells you, is it time for you to you should stop having this, having that. Oh, brother, we obey in a minute. because they tell you because it's not good for your health. Stop. A lot of meat is not good. A lot of this is not good. Stop this, taking that. And then they'll write this prescription. You can't even read what they wrote down. You cannot even read anything. And then you trust that piece of paper. You go to see the pharmacist. Pharmacists have to figure out what's happened in that piece of prescription and give medication. And you trust that piece of, you say, I'm going home. They'll tell you 3 times a day. You cannot even miss your medication. What about your soul? What about your soul that will answer one day before the Lord? The Lord is telling you to do something about it. Just do it. Now is the time. Not tomorrow. Now is the time. We can do it. Today, take a step forward. Make a decision tonight that I'm going to stop these habits. Don't say, I need to finish this. I need to finish that. Maybe next week. No. Who knows about the next week? Who knows about the next year? People thought they were going to finish 2020. They died already. If you're still alive because God wants you to repent your sins, God wants you to do what you're supposed to be doing. You are living not because you can access medication, MSP plan. You are living because God have allowed you to live for a reason, for a purpose. Make your way, rush, and go to see the Lord tonight. Start your recovery today. Say, this behavior, no more in my life. This kind of attitude, no more in my life. Drinking habit, no more in my life. Smoking habit, no more in my life. Anything, pornography material, no more in my life. Anything that defiles you, your body, then say no, N-O-N. Start now. The now is the right moment. That's what Jeremiah 20:23 says, 10:22 says, I know that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our course. We cannot plan our course because it says, I know that our lives is not ours. That's why any piece of time God has given me, I need to maximize it. I need to live it accordingly. God's ability to direct our life is far superior to our ability. Give him a chance. Just say, I want you today, Lord. Let me repeat again. God's ability to direct our lives is far superior to our ability. Why am I saying this? Sometimes we are afraid of God's power and God's plan because we know his power. We would easily crush us if we use against us. That's why we never like to go there, because you know that if I go to God, he will crush me. You say, I don't want to be crushed. Let me just give my hand. You know very well that you cannot come and compete with God's power. That's why you see there has been a resistance to recovery. You know that if I go to God, he will crush me. His power is beyond. His power is beyond. We know that. That's why we never, there will be that resistance. I don't want to go to there because I know what will. Yeah, if you give your life to Christ, he will crush everything in your life. And people sometimes, they want to keep their own prestige. They want to keep their own renommé. They want to keep their own names. They should know that I am, because in our family we used to. No, brother, change your habit. Change your life. Change your life. Change your habit, my brother. Don't be afraid to let God correct your plan. He will give you wisdom if you're willing. We are often confused by the events around us, for sure. Something we'll never understand. Others, we fell into place. So today, as you're going to take a step forward of saying, I'm going to go with the Lord's plan. After some years, we found that there are people struggling in the same area, in that place that used to be. But you must come out. So you can tell other people, I know what you're experiencing. I know what you're going through. I used to be there before. Brother, we need to repent. We need to change our lives. I feel so bad, so sad to see that in our church nowadays, we don't preach repentance anymore. We don't want to tell the people the reality of their lives because we are afraid they will leave the church. I need to cajole them. I need to caress them. I need to tell them this so they can feel comfortable. You know, you see, because you know that person is the pillar. The other one is the pillar. The other one is the pillar. So I've got, if these people, they read the church, who's going to pay the rent? Who's going to do this? I better just preach something that is between the lines. Be very careful with your message of between the lines. Preach the true gospel. Tell people to repent from their wrongdoing. Don't be afraid, pastors. Speak the truth. Because if we don't do, We don't do that. So the church has failed. We cannot afford that. We need to tell the truth, man. People have to repent. Believers, especially if I can speak about addiction to non-believers, is one thing. But what we have found nowadays is that addiction, the rate of addiction in Christians' life, it's beyond compared to what I used to think. That we found more addicted people who are not believers. You know, I'm saying this because Christians, they're hypocrites. We are just hypocrites. We are just a bunch of hypocrites. We want to look nice. We want to speak good words. But we don't want anyone to know our weaknesses. But people, unbelievers, they'll tell you the truth of who they are. I need help. That's why you see a meeting is full of unbelievers. Most of them, they just want help. And those are the people that receive mercy in a second. Remember the thief on the cross. He was an addicted thief. He will still live in your eyes when you are sleeping. You see some people, they are addicted to pick things. Their hands is just checking. It's this money. They can even steal even rocks, anything, even leaves, anything. They just want to pick anything and keep. So this thief on the cross was an addicted thief. But you know what he said? He repented. And then he was very honest with the Lord. And he said something really like that. He said, you know, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Lord. Remember me. Remember me. He said, oh Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's what we have to say. Guess what? He received that healing. He received great miracle. The first person to be in the paradise. He was the thief. This gentleman, the criminal, was enjoying that night with Christ in paradise. When you go there, you see him enjoying. And you folks, all other people call so-called believers, it pains me to see that there are people who are going to hell, the majority of Christians are going to hell. What is that, brother? You see, that we call hypocrisy in the church. We just love hypocrites around. We pretend we don't have any problem. And by the time when you are trying to tell your brother, I've seen one thing I've discovered, we believers, we always have something to say. We always try to defend why you are doing what you are doing. And why they shouldn't even talk about it. When you want to bring something to your sister, to your brother, the one thing I've seen, we always come to defending. What is happening? What is he doing? How comes I'm struggling? No. Once you are going through your recovery mode, there will be a lot of things that will happen, brother. There will be a lot of things that will continue to happen in your life. But be in good shape. Stay stronger. Stay firm. Because God will deliver you at the end. Amen, amen. We're going to pray very soon. God will make a way. You may say, I don't know what to do. Today is a great day. You must stand firm. You must say, you know what? I want to make a change. There must be a change in my life. Today, I'm going to, yes, I'm calling to you. I'm making a phone or altar call to anyone watching this video. You may say, I'm already a believer. I know. But what about your hiding secret? You know, the other thing I want to tell you, a lot of believers, they have what I call a secret sin. We always have that thing that you don't want anyone to know about it. Please, today, repent from the Lord. Because all these things will crush you if you don't repent. Will just, you do not destroy your life because of this small thing of this world. Keep on crying mercy of God every day. Hallelujah. Keep on crying the mercy of God to be upon your lives. Don't allow Satan to harvest you, to harvest your soul. Say, no, there's no way. Because God has created you in his own image. You belong to God. Remember that. Yes. We need to be supported. I need help. You should say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And tonight is the time. Just do it tonight. Don't say, tomorrow I'm going to do it. Maybe you don't have the tomorrow. Maybe today to be a goodbye. Maybe tomorrow you'll be a dead person. Maybe tomorrow this opportunity will never come again because the enemy is just waiting for something so he may destroy your life completely. Make a plan tonight. Tell God, today I need you. Come into my life again. If you say, I'm born again, you say, you know, this is happening, that's happening. Sometimes even we can be born again, but you are still going through your this kind of life that is not even pleasing to God. You say, you know what? It's about being born again. It's about me living a true life before my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. God will make a way tonight. He's making a way. I'd like us to start praying, worship Him. Just carry your microphone. I'd like you to bless. Just let us pray. Let us pray for one another. I may not know what you are going. What you are going through. You may not know what I'm going through, but we are all going through something. I should say, you know what? I need help at this time. Hallelujah. Yes. Begin to pray. Begin to pray with me that God will just ask for help. Those who have run away from their churches, you need to go back to your community. You need to go back to your assembly. You need to go back to your churches. You need to connect with prayer with people who can help you out. Do not stay in the solo mode. Satan will destroy you, my brother. Satan will kill you. He's kill you. Come on, dear Francais, appetit feu. He's killing you slowly. He wants to make sure that really you don't exist next year. Satan wants to destroy your prayer life. Satan wants to destroy your giving attitude, habit. Satan wants to destroy your life completely. That's where there's no, you don't feel connected any longer. You don't feel like calling your brother. You don't feel like talking to your brother. You don't feel like talking to your sisters. You are just to sit on your own corner. It's an evil mentality. Repent from the Lord. I pray that God may God have mercy upon you, upon me, because we have sinned against God. Time for us to come back to say, Lord, we need you. Begin to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. May God have mercy upon us. Yes, we need support. Yes, may God send people who will support us. Through ministry, we need people who will support us in this ministry. We need people who will support each and everyone. Yes, sir. In spite of what we are going through, Lord, I pray for all your people. I pray for your children, Lord. Yes, sir. They need great support. If Nehemiah, by going home, he left King's Palace with the entire army of soldiers. He went with the army, yes, Lord, so they can protect him. What about us, Lord, my God? Through our restoration, through our process of recovery, Lord, we need the entire army. We need the assemblies of God. We need people who will come and help us. We need, yes, Lord, we need to stay connected, oh precious Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus Christ, for those who are watching foreign, I continue to pray for you. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Yes, today is your day. Just say, yes, Lord, here I am. Here I am, oh Lord. Here I am, oh Lord, my God. Do not wait until the tomorrow. The tomorrow doesn't belong to you. You have the right, the now moment. Seize the moment, my brother. Seize the moment, my sister. Yes, with all our children, that we may stand and do the right thing. Do the right thing. We need to stand and respond to this call. Yes, the way they spoke to Nehemiah, let's do it. Let's rebuild. Let's start the work. Yes, because this is the right moment for you and for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same again, because God is great. God will make a way. God will make a way. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. He'll be my guide. Yes, Lord, hold me close to His side. With love and strength for each day, He'll make a way. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, all together now.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
One more time.
God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Make
a way, O Lord, to my God tonight in the life of my brother. Make a way in the life of my sister. Make a way in the life of this ministry, O Lord, my God. We rely on you, precious Father. All the fatigue and the laziness, all this rock-bora babagada, deliver us, O Lord, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Deliver your people. Make a way, Lord. Make a way, precious Father. Make a way, my Lord. Make a way, my Savior. As we cry unto you, as we cry unto you, as we cry unto you, glory to you, Jesus Christ. Glory to you, my Lord, my Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, precious Lord. Make a way, Lord, my God, in the life of each and everyone. Make a way, Lord, my God, in the life of my brothers and sisters, my family back home. Make a way, oh precious Father. Make a way in this generation. Make a way through our children's life, oh Lord, my God. Deliver them, oh Lord, my God. Yes, sir. Today is our day. Today is our day, oh Lord, my God. Yes, sir. Want to experience your greatness, Lord, my God. Today, it's a half of the month, on the 15th of November, Lord. We have decided to come out. Yes, sir. We have decided to walk with you, Lord, my God. Through our struggle, we believe in your power for deliverance, Lord, my God. We thank you, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to share the grace. Let's just be on our feet and just praise the Lord with all. Just praise the Lord, oh my soul. Just praise the Lord. Just worship the Lord with few words. Just say how God is gracious, how God is beautiful, how God is a mighty God. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, my God, for those who have given their tithes and offering. Bless them, oh Lord, my God. For those who are struggling every day to make my ends meet, Lord, remember them, Lord. This ministry will never lack any means to expand your kingdom.
And how we can battle.
Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. We'll never lack the means to expand your kingdom. Help us to be good stewards, whatever we receive, for the purpose of expanding your kingdom, Lord, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the remission of our sins. Thank you for protecting all us, my God. We bless your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. We say thank you. We say thank you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits. You have been so gracious, Lord, my God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, my God. You are so great. Hallelujah. It's worship you. I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. Oh, oh,
the reason
I live
is to worship you,
Jesus, I worship you.
The reason
I live
is to worship you.
May I have the grace for Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you all in Jesus' name. Stay blessed and see you tomorrow, 5 o'clock in the morning for prayers. Bless you. Shalom. Amen.